All right. The gate was 2.9 million. The attendance was 17,800. It was a total sellout. The performance of the night went to Moicano and Dillashaw, and the fight of the night was DJ and Cejudo. They all won $50,000. Congratulations to them.
Dana, Henry Cejudo, you know, shocked the world tonight. Now that Mighty Mouse's run is over, I want you to see if you could put that into perspective, what he accomplished. I mean, is that run of title defenses the greatest single accomplishment in UFC history?
Yeah, it's incredible what he's done. And tonight's fight was close. I don't know how you guys scored it, but I had it 2-2 going into that last round. But who gives a shit what I think? But that's how I had it. But very close fight. What's really impressive, first of all, what a technical battle that fight was. Both guys are so incredibly talented. And, you know, how much better Henry Cejudo is now from the first time that he fought Demetrius Johnson is very impressive.
We saw TJ Dillashaw get an impressive win as well. It's interesting because earlier this week, TJ had been saying, hey, if I win, I want to go down and fight at 125. Henry wins. He says, I want to go up and fight at 135. I'm just curious. I mean, is Cejudo Dillashaw a fight that you're interested in making? And if so, which weight class would you like to see it at?
I love guys that want to fight everybody. I love guys that are willing to jump, and I think the fans love guys like that too. So that's always good to hear. I love it. I don't know, but we'll see what's next, and we'll figure it out. But, you know, the reason Conor McGregor is such a huge star is because he's that guy. He'll do that. He'll jump around and fight anywhere and fight anybody. And when you have that mentality, people like it.
And last thing for me, I wonder, I mean, I'm sure you heard the criticism coming into this week about how weak this card was, and you had two very...
I didn't hear that.
Well, there was some criticism.
All right. When isn't there criticism?
Very, very entertaining fights in the main and co-main. I just wonder, I mean, I know it's been hard to market the flyweight division, the lighter weight class. Do you feel like this may be a turning point?
We're always going to have criticism. This card was full of the small guys. You know what I mean? The first fight of the night, second fight was women and small guys, right? We sold out the Staples Center. Every A-list celebrity and, you know, who's who in Hollywood was here tonight. You know, what are you going to do? There's always going to be critics. It was an awesome night. Awesome night, a very successful night, and I'm happy.
I want to start, you know, you just, in answer to John's question, said you like when guys want to challenge people. I remember there was a time not that long ago when you didn't like it, you know, when...
I didn't like guys wanting to challenge
each other? No, like when BJ Penn would say, I want to go in different weight classes, and you didn't like that. You were
let's put this into perspective, okay? BJ Penn was 155 pounds, and that was before we had lighter divisions, and he wanted to fight at heavyweight. Okay, so let's put that one into perspective. Well,
he wanted to fight other divisions.
He wanted to fight Randy Couture.
Really?
And then he wanted to box Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Totally different.
Okay. So, I mean, you never had a problem with that then. It was just specific to BJ was your issue.
Yeah. Well, listen, BJ Penn is when you talk about a real fighter, I mean, BJ Penn is old school from the old mold. And yeah, BJ wanted to literally fight everybody that was out there, you know, and I respect that, but there's limits to what, you know.
I want to ask you about the significance of Cejudo's win tonight. You know, for all the great things that DJ did, you know, the flyweight division didn't get a lot of foothold. So Cejudo now is an Olympic gold medalist. He has that inspiring backstory of, you know, being born in poverty and doing everything. Do you think this great fight tonight combined with his story and kind of the persona that he brings to the cage and brings to the UFC might make a difference?
A difference in what?
In terms of the popularity of the flyweights.
Well, I think the popularity of the flyweights was there. What more do we need? I told you, the place is packed with A-list celebrities, sold out the Staples Center. You know, the small guys did almost a $3 million gate tonight with a sold-out Staples Center. And the crowd was very into that fight, you know, very into that fight. It's the fight of the night. And I think that when you saw scrambles with these guys, the crowd reacted to them. They were very educated on what was going on. I mean, I think we're there. And I think that Demetrius Johnson's reign and what he's done, and I've talked about this to many of you this week, you know, this guy not only got better with every fight, but he started finishing people. and in spectacular fashion. And I think that, you know, from the walk-in to their announcement that Buffer gave them, to the fight, to the end, the crowd loved it and were into it, and, you know, it was a very successful night.
And then I just want to ask you a couple questions about TJ. I mean, the fact that he's a guy that's really improved over time as well, just like DJ has. And, you know, Dominic Cruz lurks out there, and Dominic Cruz won a tremendous amount of bantamweight fights. Who do you think is the greatest bantamweight in UFC history? Rogan brought it up that it might be...
Well, you can start making the argument right now about Dillashaw. Yeah. He beat Barao twice when Barao hadn't lost in 10 years. Then he turns around and beats Cody Garbrandt, coming off an unbelievable fight with, I'm trying to remember everybody's names tonight, with Cruz. I mean, the fight with Cruz was incredible. Right. Comes off the fight with Cruz and then beats, loses to Dillashaw twice. So you can make the argument right now that Dillashaw's, you know, right there, if not the...
And, you know, I know you had high hopes for Cody when he won the championship and that he might be. And obviously in this sport, losses don't hurt you like they do in boxing. But the fact that he got knocked out twice and he was kind of the puncher and the tough guy, so to speak. Do you think that hurts him in terms of him becoming that really big star? I know he's a star level guy, but that really big guy that you thought maybe he could have become?
Well, you know, these guys go on the way. Dillashaw's on his way there now. I mean, we're already discussing, is he the best ever, you know? And, you know, Cody is still one of the best in the world. He's got to get out there and, you know, win some more fights. But, yeah, these fights were massive for TJ. Because I think even going into the first fight, I think everybody believed that Cody was going to beat TJ, you know, especially Cody. Cody knew he was going to win that fight. And the way that it's turned out, you look, TJ wins both fights spectacularly.
Dana, building on the point of the super fights, Demetrius said afterward that he thinks he's got an injured foot and knee. So considering that, does it make sense, the fact that both guys want the super fight for it to happen? And can you talk about...
Who are both guys that want it? What do you mean? TJ
and... Dillashaw and Cejudo have both talked about
and
it.
And Cejudo.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Can you talk about the importance of super fights, though, to what you're doing? I mean, you've got Nunez and Cyborg coming up, too. You just had a very successful card with Cormier.
It's different. It's not about super fights. That word is being completely overused. It's not about super. If you look, Cyborg has annihilated everybody. You know, Nunez has beat everybody. There's people hurt, and Nunez beat people and all this other. And it's the fight to make. That's just the fight to make. It's not about building super fights. That's the fight to make. I don't know what the fight to make is right now for these two, but we'll see. I don't make fights Saturday night. I make fights on Tuesdays. Tuesdays are my days.
Dana, I mean, DJ, all that he's done for the 125-pound division, would it be a situation where he could possibly get an immediate rematch against Cejudo?
DJ?
Yeah.
That's a possibility, too.
I mean, obviously, he's the kind of guy that has built that division. Have you seen an evolution at 125? Because there was a time where, you know, fans would leave the building, you know, if that was the main event. And now, like you said, it sold out the Staples Center tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just laid that whole thing out with Kevin. It couldn't have been more successful tonight. It literally could not have been more successful. It was an incredible night.
I think you mentioned...
And usually... The week of a fight like this, right, if it's the heavyweights or it's Conor or it's whatever, you have people just think about any of you that have ever been married before and did the seating chart for your wedding. There's no bigger nightmare in the world than that, okay? That's what I do every weekend, all right? It's the worst part of this job, I swear to God to you. This week... Leading into this weekend, felt like it was as big as any fight we've ever done. The requests that I was getting for tickets, who the requests were coming from, the people that I had to say no to, you know, you get to a point where even if you have some tickets, there's some spots you just wouldn't put those people. just like your wedding. You know, somebody's going to show off, oh, they sat me next to this guy, or I'm not close enough to the couple, or whatever the deal is. That's what happens with this thing, too. So this was as big as any fight we've ever done as far as tickets go. And I know we haven't been back to L.A. in a while, but still, it was big.
Dominic Cruz has a win over TJ. Is that a fight that could possibly make sense in the future for the bantamweight title? Dom Cruz against Dillashaw.
Yeah, that's a good fight too. Yeah, there's a ton of fights out there. I mean, there's a ton of fights. I'm not every night when I come up here and talk to you guys, I'm literally processing what happened tonight and you know how tonight went and who looked good. I'm not even thinking about what's next until Tuesday.
Last thing, is everything okay with Nate Diaz? He had a little bit of an issue, it seems, on Twitter.
You tell me if everything's all right with Nate Diaz. I mean, if you can decipher if you can decipher that code, call me tomorrow and let me know.
Have you spoken to him at all since
no.
then? Or?
What are we going to talk about? His lawsuit is, I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Dana, right here. How important is Henry for the Hispanic market, considering he's...
Did he show up tonight? Was he at the fight tonight? Did anybody see him? No?
Nate?
Yeah. He asked for tickets, and then we called and said, you coming, right? You coming for you? He says, yeah, I'm coming, and I guess he didn't come.
I was just curious how important Henry was for the Hispanic market, considering he's the first champion since Kane.
Listen, anybody who's Hispanic and wins and becomes a champion is great for the Hispanic market for us. You know, this guy is such a decorated guy, too. You know, the Olympics and now world champion. Yes, it's good that, you know, for the Hispanic, it's good for the Americans, it's good for everybody. I mean, the credentials that this guy has and the fight that he fought tonight, it's all good.
Dana, can I just clear something up quickly about the McGregor-Khabib fight? Are we getting a world tour for that?
No. We don't have time for a world tour. These guys are going to fight the first week of October. Both guys are going to go into camp, but I'll do something fun, and we'll do some different stuff. I'm literally having a big meeting on Monday to get all this stuff in order and get it going. But you guys will know soon. Lene and her crew will be reaching out to you guys soon on what we're going to do.
These guys seem to get pretty crazy when they're kind of in close proximity with one another. Is there kind of anything in their contracts that, I don't know, stipulates, you know, the massive financial penalties if they, you know, if something happens or anything like that?
No, I'm pretty confident that we can control what happened. You know, what happened in New York, obviously, you know, if you look at when that happened, everybody was loading onto the buses, everything was done, and our staff still handled it pretty damn well for what was going on and how it went down. And obviously now we're very aware and very ready for any of that. Nothing's going to happen. We'll be good.
Dana, the co-main and the main were outstanding, but there were a lot of other outstanding performances on this card. And one of the things we love is when people step up on the big stage here, New York, Fight Week. Who were some of the other fighters that you were most impressed with tonight on the big stage?
I got to be honest with you, Holland. So I don't know, for those of you that don't know the story, he was on the Contender Series, and he was a talented guy, and he won his fight, but he wouldn't shut up. The entire fight, he was talking to me, the whole fight. Now, any of you that have been to Las Vegas and have been to the Contender Series, it's straight killers, okay? Everybody comes into that building, and the fights, I could do that every Tuesday for the rest of my life. It's incredible. I love it. This guy comes in and is talking shit the entire fight. So I said, I'm not signing this guy. I don't want him. I'm not interested in him. So Thiago Santos' fight falls out, right? And I said, let's call some contender guys in that we liked. They all turned down the fight. I said, call Big Mouth. I want to see if Big Mouth takes this fight. Took the fight, came in and fought the fight, still talking, okay? In there with Thiago Santos, this beast, ranked number 13 in the world, and took this fight on 2 weeks' notice and is still talking and saying, talking so much his mouthpiece fell out twice. But wow, he looked good. Wow, he looked good. And tonight, all the celebrities that were there loved Holland. It's all they wanted to talk about. After the fight, they're talking to me about him. Back in my room, they're talking to me about him. They loved him. So much respect to Holland. He was very impressive tonight. Took that fight on 2 weeks against an absolute savage and fought a great fight. You know, he gassed out in the third, but he took this thing on 2 weeks' notice. So, yeah, I take it back. And we will give him the proper time to train, get ready for a fight, and we'll give him another fight.
Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Real quick question. McCona is another one that looked great tonight. Got in a cage, called out Ortega. Obviously, after beating Cub Swanson, a top five guy, he put himself in my opinion, in that top five range. Is that a fight we can expect to see? And what's next from McCona?
Yeah, he looked damn good. You know, that guy's a beast. And when you think back to the Ortega fight, that fight was great with those two. Yeah, he looked great. I don't know. We'll see what's next for him. I mean, what's Cub ranked, number five in the world? Yeah, so he's, you know, he's in the top five or six now, so we'll see what happens. Cool. You good? Thanks, guys. What's that? Tyson? Was he at Tyson here?
He was here this week, but he actually went back to Vegas.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He wasn't here at the fight.
No, he was here for check-in, so. He was here on Tuesday.
Oh, he was here on Tuesday, yeah. I didn't even know. But thank you, guys. Safe travels home. Appreciate it.